This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Daddy, I never heard of Birmingham City before.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Edge of the box, Adoma in towards Codger, and Codger rounds the keeper and scores. It's a sumptuous goal from Codger. It always seems to be him for Villa.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. And joining me, it's always a pleasure, Dan Rogers from the Villa Underground. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's happening in your life, Dan?
Well, new technology has made this podcast possible, so I've got a VTech now, just to make sure. I think I've been through every piece of technology to get us to where we are and go for the old reliable 3-5 range. I borrowed it off Chadron.
Does this mean we're going to be regular now?
Yes.
Well, we can't make such big promises. People get irate. People write in.
They don't write in. It's not like points of view. Anne Widdecombe sat behind a chair.
We get emails and we get tweets. Funny tweets with waiting for the My Old Man Said podcast is like, and then a picture of a skeleton in the chair.
Which is actually how we look after we've recorded.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much how we look doing this podcast.
When was the last time we went into an international break having won a game of football? I'd love to know.
I don't know, 60s, 70s maybe? I mean, it's come at a pretty bad time for Mr. Brucey. He's actually got the results flowing and the confidence building.
No. Normally we'd be going, it's a good time, it's time to regroup off the back of 9 straight defeats, and then invariably we would just lose anyway on the other side. But no, we've got to be positive. This is progress. This is progress. This is the promotion push, that 100-1. It's nothing.
Well, we'll talk about it later, but in terms of the international break, obviously no England players. There probably won't be another Villa England player for at least a decade.
Jack Grealish.
Actually, we've got a listener question about him later on. Our main representation nowadays is in the Welsh team, which, you know, considering how well they did in the Euros, it's not a bad flag to be waving at the moment. But also, we have one special superstar, Mr. Bakuna, who's off to, is it Curaçao, the national team that actually founded in 2011? Probably especially for him, actually, because he was never going to get in the Dutch team. It was previously the Dutch in Tilly's, was it not?
Yeah, I'm not. Has anyone actually checked this place exists? Because it's the kind of thing that you see, like, you know, like on like a Ryanair route map, that you think, are these planes going anywhere? You know, are these just dark planes?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, he scored four goals in 6 appearances for this team. But I think it would be around the Caribbean, won't it? If my knowledge of Dutch colonisation has any credence.
Well, there'll only be a cocoon of four sheep and, you know, a palm tree there, I'm sure.
Anyway, in news that we relate to Villa, or try to relate to Villa, because we like to talk about other things outside the Villa universe, because the Villa universe hasn't exactly been that expansive this season.
No.
So what were your thoughts on former Villa boss Mr. Sherwood's... Well, it came to light that his touchline ban that he ran, I think it was early February, or it was sometime in February, the actual referee has kind of spilled the beans of what exactly was said to him, which basically called him a fracking mag, didn't he?
Only 12 times.
Yeah, you're the only... you're the only... in the ground that's... seen it, you mug.
It's the most Sherwood thing that if you were going to sit down and write a script on how you might imagine the words flow through Sherwood's head, that it's perfect. It's like a David Brent style bonkers rant, isn't it? I love it because it reinforces what we all know about.
Well, you say we all, but there is a section of Villa fans that regard him as a hero, and he, you know, even when he's sacked, I remember doing a poll, and it was mid-50s that still wanted him to stay.
Probably on the basis that he was a character, wasn't he? I mean, he was entertaining, but the football was desperate. There's no getting away from that. We were on the slide.
Well, no, I mean, he was adrenaline shot in the first season, but there was no real plan or anything in place.
No.
For the next season, obviously, saw us get relegated. I mean, the fact that Swindon are currently in the relegation zone of League One, and they've only won two games and lost in the last 12 games, and those two games were actually when he was banned, serving his two-game ban. So probably Swindon might want to reach out to the FA and see if they can get him banned for the rest of the season if they want to have a chance at avoiding relegation.
Fucking mugs.
The next piece of news, I actually missed this. I haven't seen it yet, and that's Prince William's dad dancing.
Yes.
Could you expand on that?
You're
more one for keeping up with the tabloids.
Well, I like the red tops. It's just Prince William, wasn't he, got caught dad dancing in a Swiss resort when he should have been, the tabloids want to say he should have been representing the Queen at the Commonwealth Day. But the point is, this is off the back of Villa's return to form. This is... It was partying hard. I mean, when was the last time we won 5 games in 6? Fuck me. If I could swim, I'd be out in the Alps. I'd be, you know, he's rocking out with his cock out. Who wasn't after that? You know what I mean? It's just, he's like, fucking Commonwealth Day bollocks. Villa have won. Scott Hogan head. He's dancing around. I'd say what. That's what was going through.
All right. That sounds fair enough. did you source this one? I think you did. This kind of relates, if you listen to the last podcast, which actually was a bit of a... stopgap one. It's one we recorded a few weeks ago. We discussed at length, I think, the answers to Dr. Tony's requests for what some supporters wanted at Villa Park in terms of improving the matchday experience. Well, here's one. Maybe we should add to the list. This comes from, well, hopefully he doesn't take any ideas from this, the Temple of Heaven Park in Beijing?
Yeah, the Temple of Heaven Park in Beijing. Basically, and I don't think this is such a bad idea. In fact, I might tweet Dr. Tony after this because everyone else seems to tweet him inane shit. Basically, Tony's going to get us installed toilet roll dispensers that are operated on facial recognition. And what this will do, it will revolutionise toilet roll dispensing in the Holt End. No longer will you have to wade through bits of toilet paper stuck to your shoe with other people's feces and little bits of wee, because it will stop it, and it will give you just the right amount. And that's the wonder of this machine.
Well, to give it some context, the Temple of Heaven Park was obviously not happy with the overuse of toilet rolls, so they wanted to kind of control the use
people
of toilet rolls.
People were stuffing their pockets with toilet rolls. Listen, this is a stock control issue of... You imagine what? I tell you what, if we don't make it back next season, there's championship cutbacks, this will be the first thing you'll see appear in Renville Park, because you're not coming and having a big whopping Balti's pie dump and getting it on the free. You know, you'll be using your napkin, I'm telling you. But this is quite serious, because this machine, if we use the same manufacturer, it's 9 minutes before you can approach the machine again and get an MRI out. So...
Well, so after the initial dispensing, Oh, this is... Sorry, this was a fail-safe for just in case you had diarrhea, isn't it?
No, you have to approach a member of staff who will override with a face of Remy Gard to dispense a fresh length.
So, sorry, just to clear this up, after your initial dispensing, then you have to wait 9 minutes to get any more.
Yeah, so use those sheets wisely.
And probably lay off the Balti pies if you want to avoid any embarrassment. The main kind of football news that, as opposed to football news, well, it's an annual, it's even more than once a year. It's 3 or 4 times a year, there's Wenger out, Wenger in, civil war between Arsenal fans. I mean, it got to a ludicrous dimension in the last game when there was 2 planes flown over, one in support, one against him. I mean, that kind of pretty much sums up Arsenal fans. But I mean, the amazing thing is when he was appointed, the Villa manager was Brian Little. I mean, he was appointed 1st of October 1996. So it's pretty amazing the tenure that he's had there. But I mean, what's your verdict? Should he stay? I think, is he going to sign a 2-year contract?
Well, I was about to say it will be hilarious when that happens, won't it? Because there will be meltdown at Arsenal. It's a funny one because you can't argue that he's achieved a lot, but they've stagnated badly, haven't they? They're not a top European football club, and they probably should be with the resources they've got.
I mean, they're still making the Champions League. They're just peeing their pants because Spurs are higher than them this season, and they're outside the top four. But they normally claw that back at the end.
Yeah, that's the measure for them, though, isn't it? That finishing, it's kind of like it was that tier above, or a couple of tiers above Villa, where Villa became happy and with just surviving. Arsenal have become happy with just qualifying. And I'm not saying Wenger doesn't want to win the thing, but his minimum expectation has become their maximum attainable level, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, but the problem is you've got to factor in they've also got to beat Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs, Manchester United. It's not like something, Wenger shows a bit of ambition and then suddenly wins. And then in Europe, I mean, you know, they're getting beaten by the Bayern Munichs and Barcelona's of this world. It's not.
Hey, I'm not going to say
they're going after the
easy
trophies that are really, you know, they're not easy to get. And, you know, he cleaned up 2 FA Cups, which has probably kept him in the job. But then again, who's going to come in and make Arsenal even better?
I don't know. It's
not a debate for this podcast, but if Wenger did leave Arsenal, would you take him at Villa?
Well, maybe he could, you know, he could reach out to our loanees like Verretu and make them the new Petits or Vieiras. You don't know what.
I would take him. I mean, you're not going to get another 20-odd years out of him. But
we can get him stored cryogenically. Maybe just wheel him out.
But, I mean, he used to manage Lansbury, so there's a connection straight away.
But isn't it mad? Do you think of the managers we've been through? I mean, just to go back, I can't even... That's a lifetime of watching Villa for some people, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, 20-odd years is... You think back to Brian Little, that is like... You know, that's going right back to... I mean, that season would have been when the infamous Hansen quote, wasn't it, about you'll never win anything with kids because he beat Man United, I think, maybe the first day of the following season?
Yeah, it was...
Something like
3-1. Mark Draper scored, if I remember correctly.
I mean, Mark Draper.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Sorry,
no, that's fake news, by the way. That's fake news. Right, before we go on, we've actually got an exciting prize draw for all the My Old Man Said patrons. Well, the prize quite exceptional, actually. I don't know how we managed to swing this one, but it's an all-expenses-paid trip for a whole week to the Dutch Antille Islands at the bequest of King Bakuna. You'll enjoy a double header as Bakuna's men battle North Korea and the Falkland Islands in an epic double header for World Cup qualification. It'll be an experience like no other. Right, so do you want to call the winner or shall I? You can do it.
And the patron winner is Mark Westmoreland.
Yeah, congratulations, Mark. We'll... Hang on a minute. Sorry, the producer is saying something in my ear. Ah, okay. Yeah, apparently Mark isn't a patron anymore, so that's a bit of a shame, because the competition is only open to existing members. Well, we haven't got time to redraw the prize, so, you know, if you want to go down, just say so.
Oh, okay, well, I've never been to North Korea before, so...
We'll book you in. Yeah, well, that solves that problem. As long as you leave your laptop behind, I'll look after it for you.
Oh, thank
anyway,
you.
If you want to become a mom's patron and support the show and the website and everything else, go to myomansaid.com and look on the patron on the menu bar. We've actually we've got a real prize for patron members in the rewards draw. I've actually, by a kind donation by one of the current patrons, he's given us three £20 vouchers, Aston Villa vouchers, so there's going to be three lucky winners of those, which I'll probably draw at the end of the month.
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony. 19th of February. I didn't buy Aston Villa for business purpose. It's only one firm losing money. I never expected making money from it. Mourning is easier and not louder than action. February 19th. Felt insulted. 1. Para, money can't even cover half wages. 2. Chose Roberto Di Matteo, not for European Cup title. Sack not just caused by poor results. 3. First need was a man with guts. 25th of February. Can't find words expressing feelings now. Thanks for standing together, going through the most difficult spell. March 11th. Great win with another clean sheet, but want to see more attacking solutions and less injuries so we can get more matches to gel the team. Hashtag OTV.
Anyway, let's get on to Villa matters at hand, and front and centre is a remarkable turnaround in form. After 9 games without a win, suddenly there's 5 wins in 6.
Promotion form.
Year promotion form.
Do you know what?
Doesn't matter.
Do you know what? I think the frustrating thing about the last 5 or 6 games is, but bar the Huddersfield performance maybe, you know, it shows you all those drop points, all those late goals, all, you know, that clutch of games. I mean, forget about the Di Matteo bit, but that clutch of games through January where we just couldn't get it together. Imagine if we'd have... You put 6 points on our total now. A couple of wins in that period.
You go to February and we lost the only home games we've lost this season. And, you know, our home form at the moment is currently the 9th best in the league. So it's not that much to write home about. Yeah. It's far, far too many draws. But, you know, we lost against Ipswich and Barnsley at home. Was it back-to-back?
I think Barnsley, they're like ranked 23rd almost. I think it's only Rotherham above them on form now. And you think, oh, God.
So, like, you know, take those, even those, just those 6 points and...
we'd have a real run at it, wouldn't we?
But, I mean, I was at the Rotherham game as an example. And, you know, that game could have gone either which way in terms of results. I mean, the fact that Villa needed an own goal to kind of set up the win was kind of indicative of, for my money, and I didn't go to the Wigan game, but a couple of people I've spoken to about it said it was pretty similar to the Rotherham game. Wigan could have been ahead before Villa scored. So it's not as if we're turning up and just, you know, running through these teams convincingly by, you know, playing decent football and having an actual... Again, it's still the grinder man, which I might start to call Steve Bruce. The grinder man.
That's not a nice image, to be honest, is Steve Bruce grinding. but bringing that quickly back, I think I don't mind how we win, and I don't think it'll be pretty.
Don't get me wrong, you win, but look who we've played. I mean, in those 5 games, Rotherham, Wigan, Bristol City were all in the bottom 3 before we played them. I mean, Huddersfield are obviously third. They beat us, and Derby hadn't won in 5 before we played them. And the only notable win is obviously against Sheffield Wednesday, and that was obviously they were down to 10 men at one stage as well.
So what
I'm saying is, does this run suggest that we could, and the way we're playing, more importantly, suggest, you know, for example, we could win out this season or do well next season? At the moment, I don't think it does.
No, I don't.
It's
think
a stepping
can,
stone.
Yeah, I don't think you can necessarily say that we're the finished article, because I mean, there's some listener questions that are coming up talking about, well, what's the plan regarding transfers? I think you can see already that we haven't got that strength in depth. That when we get a couple of injuries, you know, with all due respect to the gardeners of this world, they don't. I don't think they're going to be the players who propel us into being automatic promotion contenders, because I think that's got to be the aim next season, hasn't it? That we're not.
We're going to win the league. I mean, fuck. I've had enough already of what's been happening. I mean, especially this season, but next season, considering all the money that's been spent, we've got to go for the league. We've got to win it.
I would agree, and that the top's got to be our aim. What I think. The real good positive thing that we need to take from the last group of fixtures is we're predominantly winning them. We've got to get a winning mentality back into the club where it doesn't really. We've got to take the view that we can beat, or at very least compete with everybody. Because the worry with some of the games, particularly around the top sides before the turn of the year and into the early part of the new year, was we didn't beat any of the teams that were getting in and around the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's okay having a good record against the bottom three or six teams, but if you're not beating... I have to dig deep for my memories of how I felt going to Villa, like in the 80s and the 90s, where you pretty much, you know, you'd look at games against Spurs and Everton and you'd expect to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of our situation is that it's starting to sound like a Martin O'Neill quote, really. We're a million miles from that at the moment, and... We've got to be beating the Huddersfields of this world. Again, with all due respect to them, you know, they turned us over and they got spanked by Bristol City.
This is the thing.
Playing us, and you think that's the annoying thing, that we haven't got that. We haven't walloped anyone and we haven't yet put together 90 minutes of football. That seems to be a pretty universally accepted thing. We haven't put together 90 minutes where you think, bloody hell, this is coming together. That's got to worry Bruce, but then he probably thinks, I've had one transfer window, it took me 6 weeks to start to gel something. We've had a horrendous run of injuries. I think our injury luck has been shocking. I really do think it's been shocking.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sheffield Wednesday were missing their spine when we played them.
They were, and they had the sending off.
You know, everybody has. I mean, you know, excuses. As we've spent over 70 million. Most teams, I mean, that's more than anybody in the Championship. And you look at the Forests of these, you know, Forests problems, and they've turned us over. Bristol City, Barnsley, you know, they've all managed to beat us this season.
Yeah, we can look back and focus on that. There's often some singular moments in those games. I mean, just
yeah, but I've watched Villa with my own eyes, and the majority of the performances have been terrible. Like,
well, that's
really
why we're
bad.
Not going to get promoted, and there's been too many of those games where, you know, in amongst the last five or six, there's certainly been examples of where we've been fortunate. I wouldn't say we've had a lot of luck this season, but then I do prescribe to the view that you make your own luck as well. So we've got to be a better team next season, definitely, and that's why we've got to use the final games of the season to get... I think the example is, and it's a big leap again, is that Leicester City type thing where they picked up towards the back end of their Championship winning season and they carried it through. That's got to be the, I don't know, the
well,
example.
You want camaraderie, but you also, you know, you want to be playing good stuff. I remember, like, when... You saw Leicester when they came up in the season that they survived by their skin of the teeth. But at the start of that season, they were going after teams, and I think they got beat. They got beat by United 3-2? Some crazy game. Was it Old Trafford? I can't remember. But they were taking games to teams, and they were playing really well. You know, you'd watch them on Match of the Day, just the highlights, and you go, bloody hell, they were unlucky. And that was the thing. They were just unlucky in terms of results. And when it came to the back end of the season and they, you know, they romped to safety, it wasn't that much of a surprise, because they were actually playing really well all through the season. They were just missing the results. And that's what I'm kind of... looking for the end of Villa's season in these remaining eight games is, regardless of results, just show that we can play a bit and suggest that once it clicks and we start, you know, winning by playing this way, that we could potentially romp next season. Because at the moment, doing it as we are, it's been a bit scrappy, and it relies on a bit of luck, and Villa having, you know, better quality finishes rather than having a better team per se. So I'd like to take away the kind of look and the chance and just be better than other teams.
I think to close this off, we definitely need to step it up probably one, even two gears, and get ourselves into a position where we're feared. And I think that you get become feared by ruthlessly beating teams week after week. And a streak of... This will come across as a touch arrogance, but, you know... Homing in on teams like your Rotherhams and sticking 4, 5, 6 past them.
Well, yeah.
And really, you know, because we haven't looked like walloping anyone this season either.
No, I mean, Newcastle have butchered a couple of teams.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the goal differences, both Newcastle and Brighton are up there plus 30, and there's nobody close to that.
Well, we haven't scored nearly enough goals, have we?
And well, one of the lowest scorers.
Yeah, so that's always put us at risk. If a team scores, are we going to score two? Well, you know,
you hit the nail on the head with the gears reference. I mean, if Villa have got five gears, I don't think we've been past third gear this season.
And maybe only for 45 minutes of football when we have. That's the frustration. So we need to find that. I know we need to be on that trajectory as we go into the final games of the season and emerge after pre-season, hopefully, as a...
Well, we need to. I mean, one thing we need to do is learn how to keep the ball and maintain possession better to dictate games. I mean, we'll talk about some of the factors for improvement. And one thing that's been mooted around is Jedinak's contribution coming back from injury. Yeah. But he's somebody who he has one of the lowest completion rates for his position in the league. Yeah.
He's guilty of a woeful pass as well, and his misplaced passes can often result in the opposition bearing down on our goal. I notice quite more often than not, particularly since he's moved to centre half.
Well, as the Wigan example being a prime one, but I mean, sorry, I'm not knocking him.
No, I was going to say, with that said, you almost have to park that because he represents, you know, a combative, marauding figure who, frankly, we saw when he was out of the team with his thigh injury. We had nothing close to a like-for-like replacement for Jedinak.
Yeah, I mean, that would be top of the list in terms of summer signings. Somebody who can, you know, fill in there.
Well, the worry is that if he was to get another injury, particularly the early part of next season, and, you know, for those people who've been with us since the early part of this podcast, Jedinak was away for two long stints of international duty early in his Villa career. And it hampered all kinds of, I think, our progress and his at the club. The idea of us kicking the season off and then losing him for a week, 10 days, and then missing three games is just... It doesn't bear thinking about with the current squad, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, Bruce is talking about how playing centre-back can give him longevity, but he's not the fastest of players, you know, never mind his age anyway. If he's... Bruce is talking about him playing, 35, 36, 37. Well, hopefully Villa are going to be in the Premier League when those birthdays come, and he won't have the pace to combat Premier League strikers that tend to be faster and niftier than, your kind of Chris Woods of the Championship.
Yeah, so I think the centre-half experiment is a good one because it clearly does work. I think it does two things for me. It allows us to change our shape, because we have to sort of anchor Jedinak in that defensive midfield role. The other thing is, I think it tells us a great deal about the other centre-half options at the club, particularly Tommy Elphick, actually.
You would expect him to leave, would you?
Well, clearly he's second choice to Jedinak at centre-half now.
Yeah, well, all of the guys were... Mika Richards, he didn't get a sniff.
And, no, that's true. I've forgot about him.
And Bruce was... before. I mean, he got injured straight away, but Bruce had him sniffing in the team, didn't he, when he first took over? It was against Wolves.
Well, probably like the rest of us, really, because you look at Richards, and I think everyone holds this... certainly myself, when he joined, you hold this idea of Richards when he was 17, you know, strong, pacey... attack-minded player, and he never developed, did he really? And he never came on. So,
well, you also think, okay, Richards not really doing himself any favours in the Premier League, but surely, he's bloody won a Premier League medal for City, but surely he must be a player to have in your team in the Championship, which I think Bruce probably holds that thought, but whether he's not 100% fit yet, and that's why he obviously was behind Jedinak in that situation, I mean, remains to be seen. But if he is fit, I would be surprised not to at least see him play a game or two this season, just to see if he's worth holding on to. And another one would be Sam Johnson, who's five clean sheets in six? Is that the right maths on the matter?
As it stands, that is correct, yes.
I think I made the joke on social media that it looked like he'd actually edited the highlights for the Wigan game, because the first five or six highlights were
just him diving
Wigan coming at them, yeah. Was the stick he got harsh when he first came in? I mean, he's a young keeper, new club that's in a big mire of Scheisen, so a lot of pressure on him straight away. And he, you know, it's—I don't know if he'd be my first choice. I'm still preaching the experience keeper card.
I think we took a huge gamble on bringing him in. You'd have to think that Bruce was given a tip off from his old contacts at United. The other part of it is, I wonder whether we looked at the available senior, your steady pair of hands type goalkeepers that were available, and either we didn't fancy them or they wouldn't come or whatever. What I think was, his Johnston's form represented the wider team's form at the time. It was nervous, it was prone to errors. I think he's calmed down in recent games, and by that I mean there were a number of his early appearances where he seemed all over the place in the box. And
well, I mean, to be fair, he was quite good against Spurs in his first appearance.
I think that what happened was it tapered off quickly, didn't it? What that coincided with was Bruce's huge turnover in players, and Bruce's desperation to find a settled 11 quickly, and all manner of things going wrong, really. But what you've seen over the last five or six games, though he's not necessarily been tested over all those five or six games, I'd say, but we saw against Wigan that it was better. And the elephant in the room with Johnston is that, what's the plan come the close season?
Yeah.
Because as it stands, we haven't got a senior goalkeeper at the club who we can say is the number one, in my opinion.
Well, let's move on. I think what I've seen watching Villa over those last six games where we've won is Conor Hourihan getting forward more and really, even getting past Codger at some times, making those runs that we've kind of been missing and been complaining about on this podcast. But I think that's a big, big plus.
I really, really, really like Hourihan. I have to say that he's got a... he's direct, and like you say, he's not... The obvious comparison is what we had before and what we've got now. We've swapped out a Westwood. Park and forget all that's been said and done about him. But Hourihan feels like and looks like an upgrade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He puts a ball in, he plays a ball quick, and his instinct is to go forward. That is so refreshing, and that's... We've talked about Jedinak already, but when we couldn't release Hourihan and Lansbury in that sort of group of games we talked about where we were struggling, look at the difference when we can.
Yeah.
He's getting assists. It was a lovely short corner and then across from Hourihan for Chester's opener. You know, little things like that. I just think we've got a player on our hands. It's no surprise that he's now a bit more in the spotlight. He's in the Irish setup and deserved, I think.
But yeah, I mean, like for example, in the Rotherham game, which I mentioned earlier on, was kind of could have gone anywhere. He was the kind of difference around the 60th minute mark, where he just started to get forward more and really take the game to Rotherham more.
Yeah,
and that's where the chances came from.
Very vocal as well would be something I noticed. The games at Villa Park is that, interesting you should mention the 60-minute thing, that he seems to... I'm a huge fan of Chester as captain, but he is absolutely... He's in everyone's face. Villa players, referees. Yeah. He's a nightmare, and I like that. I like that a lot.
Codger's kept going. He's the fifth top scorer now with 15. I think he's... After Leeds' man is... I think he has the second highest percentage in terms of contributing to a team's goals. I can't remember the statistic off the top of my head. I think it's 39%. But Codger, I mean, if he was around for January, I think we probably would have had those extra 6 points, and he would be a little higher up. I mean, we'll talk about him later on in a future podcast in terms of whether he's going to stay and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't think he's somebody that Premier League clubs will be chasing, crazily. And I think he's getting paid enough probably to, make him happy to stay in a nutshell.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
Adoma is kind of the silent hero at the moment, because I think he's had, after Hourihan, whose most of his assists obviously came at Barnsley, Adoma's number two in the assist charts with 10 assists. And he's somebody that hasn't really taken the headlines or the spotlights, and still I think he could do a bit more, but there's a question about him actually. We'll leave further discussion to that. But overall, anyway, in the last six games, we're numero uno in the Championship form book, which it's night and day from the previous month. 100 to 1 for the playoffs. I don't think it's even worth talking about.
No.
We've managed to... I did the maths in an article. We managed to claw back... Is it 11 points off Sheffield Wednesday in...
Well, their form has absolutely collapsed, hasn't it, Wednesday?
In the space of six games, which is, you know, obviously the amount we're behind them at the moment. But Fulham, for example, I think we've clawed back 6 points... And we're 10 points behind them. So if we're clawing back a point a game against Fulham, that's not going to get us above them come the end of the season. So it would need a collapse from Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday and you know, Norwich probably as well.
Yeah.
And Villa to essentially win out or win 7 out of 8 or something. But I think the main concern is I don't think the other teams will give up that many points to have that such a swing of points to Villa's favour. But... two home games coming up, Norwich QPR, win those two, and I'm sure that the Birmingham Mail will be writing other articles about our playoff chances.
Let's not give them any publicity. Because it's not actually a newspaper anymore. I'm trying to think of what that website's actually like. It would be like opening a newspaper and having a stroke, I think. It's kind of like... you know, how do you navigate a website that is advert, video, advert, click under, pop over?
It's bullshit. It's
and then when you do get to the article, it's 50 words that have been recycled from a quote 9 years ago by a child that's been interviewed in the Trinity Road whilst buying a programme. It's just...
I don't know. And then they use any video they can get their hands on just to run their ad revenue. I just hope the people who supply those videos are getting paid for it.
G'day, and welcome back to Jednak's Jungle. What a brutal safari this is turning out to be. I go away for a few weeks and all hell breaks loose, but I'm back at centre-back. I've post-Tommy Elphick, the Pommy pre-match post-hugging Wombat. Now I'm on the hunt in the outback for lost souls. Veretout, Carlos Hill, Sanchez. Don't let their looks deceive. One wrong move, bam, they're sold you down the river. But it's no matter, I can confirm they're extinct. They ain't coming back. And now I've got to spend another season in the lawless depths of the championship. Doing all the dirty work. Probably alone. Forever. Struth.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let's go on to some of the questions from the listeners, because a lot of them cover what's happening at Villa or whatever, and, you know, we might as well let them dictate the agenda. Right, first question from the Iska Rose on Twitter. Now we've got a decent squad together, how many players do you think we'll need to work hard to keep in the summer? How much would be enough to let them go? Well, I think we still need more rather than having the complete squad at the moment and making sure we keep our best 11. We can still get rid of some of these players. I mean, they haven't really proved anything at the moment.
But I think in terms of a player that if I was looking at Villa's squad, and it's something I hear a lot from opposition fans, I think the one player who we might have the vultures circling for is Chester. I think Chester is a standout player, footballer in the team, and this would be the worry next season if we don't get off to a good start, that you hit January and
then it's a real vulture's job.
Yeah, that's the only one for me. I'd like to. You have this romantic view, don't you, that you think, no, he's in it for the long haul to drag Aston Villa back to the Premier League.
As we all know, there's no loyalty in football.
Bastard.
But yeah, I would say Chester, I would say, let's say, Codger, Hurrihan and Lansbury, I don't know if they would go, considering they've only just signed, and they would have known when they signed that there was a potential of a season in the Championship.
Well, I think also for those players as well, if they're not seen to be improving us, you know, because they're quite central players to a...
Yeah.
To a team in our position, I don't think that they'd have much, you know, they're only going to be going to sidestepping. I think they need to be seen to be taking Villa somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be an orderly queue for the services of a lot of our players, to be honest. Scott Hogan, I don't think he will have a chance to show anything above and beyond Villa buying him in January. I mean, if a Premier League team wanted him, they could have got him then. And, you know, there was reports that West Ham wanted him and that all fell through at the last minute and Villa slipped in there. Yeah. So I don't think it's a case of worrying about not keeping any of the current squad. I think it's more of what will be the two or three additions that will make a big difference. You know, a player to bring a bit of unpredictability to our, you know, forward play would obviously be up there. Obviously a goalkeeper and somebody to sort out the kind of Jedinak cover dilemma. And then the rest is all, you know, bonuses, I suppose. Anyway, let's move on. James Pearson off Facebook says, in the grand scheme of things, is it better for Villa to have a second season in the Championship, cement the team, and I'll paraphrase, a greater team spirit, I think, will make us stronger in the long run. The green shoots are starting to sprout. Do you want to start, or do you want me to rage into this one?
My view...
The Championship is shit. We need to get out ASAP. None of this. Let's build a team in the Championship. No, we get more money when you're in the Premier League. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
does that answer your question, James?
I think we would rebuild this team if we moved up to the Premier League. If we got a decent team, we would still buy five or so players to get it up to the level. I don't. It's going to be rebuilt again in the Premier League as soon as we're promoted. So,
I mean, I look forward to that because we could just do what Middlesbrough did, because we'd be able to buy Gusted, Guzan and Adama Traore.
Just keep
back,
recycling
it?
Those players.
No, they're Premier League players. We should get them.
But seriously, the longer we stay out the Premier League, the further we fall back. And
next season is a big risk because we have to get up next season. It's
Dr. Tony.
The two-year plan.
Well, I mean, I did a piece, a retort to his tweets, where I used the examples of his tweets where somebody said, oh, so what's the plan if we don't go up in one season? He said, this is the only plan, promotion in the first season.
Oh, my God.
So it's one of those things where if they don't, it's like, oh, yeah, we will get promoted this season. And if it doesn't happen, then it's, you know, rolls on to the next season. And we're given this promise that we're going to get promoted this season again. But the reality is, with parachute payments and also, you know, Dr. Tony obviously has got plans to get moving, you know, pronto. And the longer Villa stay in the Championship, it just becomes this big stone around his neck.
Do you know what I think? I mean, just to close off this question, I think we both agree that where we are now, we're going, hopefully going into the second season in better shape, but we've got to get it right.
Yeah.
I think the annoying thing is that we have almost defeated ourselves at times this season, where if you look at some of the competition and the quality of some of the teams around us, how we've contrived not to get in and around the playoffs... It's baffling.
Well, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And I'm not... I do prescribe 1% to people who say, look, we came down with huge, huge issues and major overhaul. Well, we smashed money at this and we brought in significant improvements. I'm not saying it should happen overnight, but hey, we're not in and around.
Yeah, what I don't subscribe to this, and Steve Bruce does say this every week, is, that's the Championship. That's the Championship. It's a tough league. It's not easy. Well, I think that's bullshit. I think... If you get your act together, if you look at the league table, there's only two teams that have got their act together, really. Huddersfield have, by an excellent, you know, manager and kind of punching above their weight or whatever you want to call it, it'd be interesting to see if they've got the balls to go through the playoffs, because Leeds look pretty unforgiving.
Yeah, I would agree.
But look at the goal differences of Brighton and Newcastle, and, you know, they've just got it together, and, you know, Rafa's no mug as well. And they've just blown, you know, blown teams away.
Well, I'd say that's the only difference. And to be honest, Benitez's managerial nous, I think, has alone got Newcastle where they are. I don't necessarily think Newcastle have got huge amounts of quality, and that could see me targeted mercilessly. Yeah. But I don't, you know, when I look at their squad and I look at our squad, there's not, you know, they've got Kieran Clarke in the centre of defence. For God's sake,
Sorry, just concluding what you were saying. You know, I agree that this league is not that great.
The quality isn't. Take Sheffield Wednesday. I know they had we mentioned them briefly, but they had a couple of players missing, but they didn't look like a football team who were on the ascendancy. And you thought, bloody hell, yeah, they look good enough for the Premier League. You know, if they'd have been six bottom, you wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah, I mean, of all the games I've watched this season, I'm trying to think of. I thought Brentford were okay.
Yeah.
Huddersfield were decent in both games, and Brentford in both games as well. Brighton, okay. Newcastle, terrible. I mean, the fact that they weren't 3 or 4 nil up in the first game at Villa Park, they were just almost a joke in terms of finishing. And, you know, they weren't that impressive. Even Leeds, Leeds have been more impressive against other teams than they were when they played us. So that's a hard one to kind of write them off, because they were lower than us when Di Matteo got fired. So Monk's done a great turnaround job there. Steve Wright off Facebook says,
and Radio 2,
should we offer shorter contracts to players after the shit we've had to tolerate with Nzogbia, Abongahor, Kozak, Richards, to name a few, that have done nothing but bleed the club dry with absolutely nothing back? It's the nature of the beast. When you're after players, players want certain things. They want a good wage per week, and they want the security of a long contract. So if you're saying, well, mister, we're going to give you 1 year or 2 years, some other club comes along and said, oh, we'll give you the same money but 3 years, then, you know, that's how it works, or 5 years.
Unless you're Gabby Agbon.
Unless you're Gabby Agbon.
How did he get?
The only short contracts you can really get away with is, like, older players, like, potentially really good players, but a little bit older, who are thinking, well, I'll give it one more season. This time it's personal.
This is something I was speaking to someone about recently, really, that the difference between the old football and the new football, I'm just about old enough to know the difference between the two, is that I think traditionally teams like ourselves, particularly in the 90s, we could pick up that type of player who was, you know, maybe had that 1-2 years left in them, who was a top quality midfielder, you know, your Kevin Richardsons and whoever.
So you're not talking about your Robert Perez and your David Ginola's?
Well, no. But the thing about, you look at the players now, and there's this migration towards leagues like China and the MLS for those, you know, those retirement packages. And I'm not saying that we would necessarily get some of these players, but they're not even in the market, are they? So there's not, you know, you're not picking up that Frank Lampard for a season, or, you know, where traditionally you might have, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's a danger you don't want somebody to distract. But sometimes in the Championship, I was going to call them a circus act, but they're not. They're actual players that bring a quality that most Championship teams don't have in their locker.
Do you know what? The most recent one I can think of, and it was a Villa connection, I suppose, is Merson towards the end of his career started dropping down the divisions. Yeah. It was only over a period of 2 or 3 years, but he did have success, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it Portsmouth maybe he got promoted with, or something like that? But that's the kind of, you don't see that really, where a player with natural ability that, because Merson, let's be honest, though a fine footballer, was not necessarily the model professional, but very gifted.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't see that very often.
But Steve, if you want to follow the next player to bleed the club dry, just let's see what happens with Ross McCormack. That'll be an interesting one this summer.
Oh my God.
Right, next one, Royston Birkin on Facebook says, with a fully fit squad, does Gabby make it into the match day 16? Would Bruce be a fool to fit him into the squad and risk upsetting better players? Well, Bruce has been, carrying a light for him? Is that the expression?
I don't know. I think there's perhaps more context to the Gabby recall, because I think the last time we really considered this was when we were starting to become more aware of McCormack.
Yeah.
being on the way. And what it was there was this, we were all quite perplexed, weren't we? What, why was he getting picked ahead of him? Well, clearly there was issues.
Yeah.
And he was, did he have to? And was it sort of tagged onto the bit that Gabby was getting fit? And though he should never have been unfit, but was he in this, was he shoehorned into this position where he actually had to pick Gabby? Going forward, I don't see Gabby being part of this at all.
No, I mean, if you remember, Bruce did publicly announce that Gabby was on this 6-week, let's say, intensive training plan, and suddenly he was being picked in the team, you know, 2 weeks into that. So obviously, the McCormack issue or situation, should I say, prompted that. And obviously, we didn't have that context at the time.
Well, the other part of the context was, just to put another layer on it, was that that also coincided with Hepburn Murphy refusing to sign a contract. So yeah, there was this huge stalemate there where he was actually barred from, Bruce basically said, you're not playing until you sign. And we had all the injuries, yada, yada, yada. And Codger was away. Now, I think the dynamic changes, because I wouldn't be surprised if he were to make a purchase in the summer, going back to the last question very briefly, if a striker came up, if we managed to offload someone like McCormack. You know, football's a strange one. Maybe McCormack comes back to his senses. He's not being picked for Forest at the moment, but you never know.
Right, next question. Here's a good one. In Mom's opinion, or my old man said podcast opinion, who has been the best manager at Villa since Martin O'Neill?
Ooh.
I don't like this question instantly.
I hate them all.
You see, it's kind of like ordering your favourite Nazi officer, isn't it, really? You can't have a favourite.
What?
Exactly, it's not a question that you can, you know, you can't go, well, Himmler was good at, you know.
Well, Houllier, he brought Villa into relegation zone straight away, and a lot about Houllier was, oh, what's going to happen, you know, in the next few years, but I think he was yesterday's man, to be honest with you.
I wonder in time, like you say, was it a longer term view with Houllier, and was he going to be one of these ones who stepped upstairs after getting the stuff behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I just felt, I also, that other half was as you say, that he dropped that clanger, didn't he, when we played away at Liverpool and waved at their fans, and he also said after the game that if I want to lose to anyone, I want it to be Liverpool, and that sort of shit where you thought, yeah, this guy's not for it.
Yeah.
But I refuse Tony to order in preference a list that includes McLeish, Gard, Eric Black, I mean,
Sherwood,
Di Matteo,
Lambert.
Lambert. Poor Lambert. I mean,
I mean, you've got to look at it. Sherwood had the greatest day with, well, days probably. I mean, you'd probably put the Baggies game in the quarterfinals and the Liverpool semi-finals right up there.
How he kept us up. How he kept us up that season. I mean, it was, Sherwood was monumental, singular high moments with, punctuated with terror.
With terror and no future. I mean,
yeah.
Just for the sake of Tony, let's just do a sentence on each of them. Houllier, we've basically covered. He was yesterday's man, and I don't know, was his heart really in it? I think he'd had his best days. Oh shit!
That's brilliant. Probably not, I would say.
No, it wasn't. sorry, Gerard. Next. That wasn't scripted. Next, it's Uncle Alex McLeish. Should never have got the job just because of being a manager that got relegated the season before. And then he was never ever going to get a honeymoon period with the whole Blues connection. That was just, like, naive by the board, I thought.
In a sentence, the wrong appointment for all the reasons you've just said. And I think he never stood a chance in that, because it was such an austere time as well.
Yeah.
For the club. And
although you say that, and he did.
I know we bought in Zogbia.
Zogbia on a 5-year, Shea Given on a 5-year with ridiculous wages.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
He wasn't really boxing clever. I don't think McLeish was boxing clever there on those transfers.
Do we have to do this to ourselves, David?
Lambert. Kind of like taking a string of misery and just stretching it out as far as you possibly could.
He should have been sacked after the Bradford debacle.
Yeah.
Sacked or snipered, I don't know.
I mean, big clubs, or let's say clubs with chairman with ambition or owners with ambition, would have fired him pretty much after that.
Yeah. I think Lambert badly lost his way quite early on, and It's kind of like the attractive girl who you see in the bar, and you know she's got everything going for her, and then you get her home and you realise that actually she's got a cock. It was.
That wasn't expecting that.
But it was a shock, because this free flow, you know, we were singing his name at Norwich, you know, and then.
But if you're gay, that's the win situation, surely.
It was, but in this metaphor, we are heterosexual.
Okay. Well, we are heterosexual in real life as well. But
it was just desperate. He tried to reinvent himself a couple of times, and it was.
I think if Lambert doesn't buy Christian Benteke, who as McLeish informs was on Villa's radar before that.
Yes.
If Lambert doesn't buy Benteke, then Villa are relegated sooner than they were.
100% agree.
So. If you have to pick one of these guys, Eric Black obviously didn't win. Remy Gard, just...
hopeless.
Well, he was also led down the garden path of oblivion with no hope.
It was a thankless.
A thankless task, really, for sure.
The thing that really annoyed me with Garden was the resignation so early on. And I think that, yes, he got led down the garden path by Fox and Co. Could he not inspire some fight?
Well, I think he would have resigned earlier if he could.
Well, it's a severance payment that you lose if you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Suppose.
I think that was like a minimum period or something. I don't know.
It was a desperate time, and it's best forgotten, frankly.
But I mean, the question is, who has been our best manager since O'Neill? And I wouldn't say Sherwood, just because I don't. Out of all those guys, I don't think he's the best manager. But he did give us our best moments.
He has to be the one.
But he's not the best manager. Too. In terms of saving us from relegation and having those two kind of great days in the FA Cup, and a big FU to all those people who don't like to play the best teams in the Cup because they want to concentrate on the league. Well, nothing's been happening as far as in the league. So if we just imagine not having an FA Cup run in the last 5 years, God, I'd be on my knees by now. Craig Fisher on Facebook asks, do you agree with Jack Grealish still being in the England under-21s, even though he doesn't feature for us at the moment? Well, I think England 21s is a bit like the Villa youth team. It doesn't really have any correlation, almost, with the full national team, or doesn't mean he's going to get anywhere. There's so many England under-21 players that kind of disappear from the scene or end up in lower league teams.
Mm.
That it's no real big thing. And if he's getting games for the England under-21s, then, you know, all the better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the one thing that Grealish should be worried about this season is the emergence of Andre Green, because he looks far more a complete footballer to me than Grealish does at the moment.
Well, I think he carries more purpose and more threat.
Absolutely.
You can mitigate that Villa aren't actually playing a way that really accommodates Grealish, or where Grealish can be effective, you know, for the maximum amount of minutes in a game, shall we say.
We don't
have possession of the ball.
It's a tricky one, because top footballers are adaptable as well, aren't they? I'm not saying that you can wedge any player into any situation, but there's been times when Grealish has been on the pitch that he's been so anonymous, or so, you know, this thing about him slowing attacks, it's been so obvious that there's something not right there. Makes you wonder where, when you do see an Andre Green who's does quite straightforward things very well, you know, why isn't Grealish doing that? Why has it always got to be the Hollywood pass or something?
Yeah, you want somebody to receive the ball and then gets the crowd off, you know, upon their feet straight away. And Green has kind of done that more effectively than Grealish, and Grealish is meant to be that man. But anyway, let's move on to Tim Gopher's question. Do you think Codger and Hogan can play together, or should Hogan be an impact sub? I think Codger should be the impact sub.
Ooh, controversial.
I was joking. But I don't know, I think... I have this vision that Hogan's will become more of a Villa man than Codger will.
Ooh.
In terms of long term. It's just, I like Codger as the main man, because, you know, he's putting the ball in the net, and that's exactly what you want. And some of his finishes, to be honest, are, you know, they're top class.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see Hogan playing with another decent striker and making Villa more effective than Codger playing in a 4-3-3. If that makes any sense.
It does, and I think that we saw when they first joined the club that there's not a natural partnership there. But that may come. that may come. But also, we're going to face the range of opposition, though I don't think necessarily it offers great quality in the Championship. There's huge variation across the quality of defences that I've seen. And
I mean, as we've mentioned, we're not scoring a lot of goals, so it's not as if... we've spent a ton of cash on centre-forwards. I mean, how many is it now? 3 over 10 million.
Well, I think if nothing else, it gives us two very different strikers, and I think that what you'll see is probably what we're doing now. That there'll be games where you see Codger start as the lone striker, and when particularly if we want to protect something, and there'll be other games where you'll stick Hogan in there probably alongside him. I think you'll see it drop in and out.
Right. Next question, Daniel Delaney, Adama versus Adoma. Who got the best deal? Villa-Borough or Villa?
Definitely us.
Do you think it's one of the reasons why Mr. Villa-Borough got sacked?
I think so, because he's just... I mean, we were focused just on Adama. They have been beguiled like we were beguiled by, I think, probably about 10 seconds of Barcelona footage. And when we bought him, I remember furiously researching, like everyone else, of who is this kid? And not finding much substance. And then, you know, I follow a Barcelona blog, I think it's Total Barca, and they sort of tracked his progress a little bit. And none of his lack of progress has been of any surprise to them.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. You know, that this kid who was in, you know, the only Barcelona second string to get relegated and, you know, was dropped from that team. Yes, he made a couple of appearances in the Barcelona senior squad, but for a manager who got sacked and replaced with really successful Luis Enrique and before being shipped out for 10 mil, they didn't exercise their buyout clause very early on. It's a funny one because Adama ticks that box at the far end of the scale of, we've just been talking about Grealish, excitement, but with no end product.
Yeah, I mean, this devil's advocate, but there's part of me that if this season was is a write-off as it has been, if you got 35 games out of Adama Traoré, it would have been fun to watch. It would have been more entertaining than most of the crap we've had to put ourselves through. But, you know, we'd have the same results. We wouldn't be going anywhere.
Let's look at it this way. Adama is one of the most frustrating footballers in a Villa shirt for me. I think he does a lot of things that you can tear your hair at, but the stats are the stats. He's created 10 goals for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, what times has been a very, very poor Villa team, I have to say.
Yeah.
Would Traoré have done that? I think we'd have seen him injured most of the time, and I think we'd have seen lots of pointless runs very quickly before he was dispossessed or whatever.
No, I agree.
And that's about it. That's about it. I think it's simple for me.
Anyway, if you've managed to get this far, congratulations. Well done. And tell your friends to follow us, make sure you subscribe so you get notified before anybody else that a new show has dropped. And until the next show, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
You'll enjoy a double header as Bakuna's men battle North Korea. You'll enjoy a double header as Bakuna's men battle North Korea and the Falkland Islands. I can't get past Falkland Islands.
I mean, can we? We don't need to dwell too long on Kozak, but have you?
Next question. Barney Thorne says, "My wife found lipstick on my scrotum. Should I tell her the truth?"
Mm-hmm. Well, tricky one, Barney.
Tricky one, but the before we go into it, I mean, the fact that your wife is still interested in getting up close and personal with your scrotum is a big bonus in your marriage, I would venture. I mean, the only Villa lipstick story I can think of is in a meeting with Steve Hollis, the temporary Villa chairman. He said, answering the question of what state of play is it with the sale of Villa, he said, "Well, we're at the stage where basically just got to put as much lipstick on the pig as possible." I thought that was a brilliant description of the Villa sale.
My old man said,
"Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.